Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. So great to have you with me on this festive Tuesday. Why do I say festive? Because every day should include the word fest. Let's make it special, folks. Let's talk some show business. Let's talk movies, TV, pop culture, fun Wisconsin stuff. And let's do it with panache. That's my word of the night. Conrad, you ready to take some texts?
Of course.
He's ready, folks. You can't stump him. Don't even think about trying to get a text past the K-man. He is ready.
I'm locked in.
We're broadcasting statewide, all over the beautiful state of Wisconsin from our downtown studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, hump day, as they call it. Do people still say that, Conrad? Do you ever run into people that go, happy hump day?
I can't say I have for a very long time.
That's like right up there with a case of the Mondays. I couldn't ever say that. I know people say it to me and I smile and I go, yeah, we're getting there. Weekend right around the corner, you know. But, you know, for someone who loves to talk and talk about show business and comedy, I'm never in a race to get to the weekend. Even before I was doing this show, all I would do was talk all day on the phone to friends of mine. We'd make each other laugh and we'd talk about what was going on. So the fact that I can do it here with a microphone and have said friends on the show from time to time, I'm in no hurry for the weekend. So it is hump day. And I don't despise the weekend. I like the weekend, but I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is I never celebrate hump day. Probably the way most people. I can never match their enthusiasm when they so excitedly say, happy hump day. So there you go. Okay, so today I want to get this out of the way because I want to get the text line rolling. So Conrad, stretch out those thumbs. Here we go. Here we go, buddy. It is National Good Samaritan Day. And I assume everybody knows what a Samaritan is, a good Samaritan. Conrad, you know what that is?
Yeah, just generally doing good for the community.
Yeah. And, you know, you might meet someone from, I mean, I guess you don't have to be from Samara. Is it Samara? Wait, I got to look at, I haven't heard this in ages. Good Samaritans are people that do good deeds for others, okay? And I'd like to think I've done a few of those in my life. I've certainly been the recipient of several deeds by Good Samaritans. And the question tonight is, what is your experience regarding Good Samaritans? Have you ever been one? Have you ever been on the receiving end of someone who helped you out of a jam or helped you change a tire, helped you carry your groceries in if you're older? That's tonight's question. I want to hear. Let's spread some goodwill here because Good Samaritan stories are just phenomenal. And sometimes you hear incredible ones. So feel free to share yours tonight with me here at Nightlight. The phone number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Has the new phone number grown on you yet, Conrad?
Yeah, I think it sounds much better than party.
I'm digging it. I didn't mind party. It was easy.
Yeah, it's a party, right. But we're getting down to business, and it's civic.
Exactly. It's civic business. Keep your civic-minded brain out of my business. I don't even know what that means. So let us know what you think. You can also text us on the app. Just go to the Civic Media app, and you can click on any one of the stations or the network, and Nightlight will come up. You can click on the little app or the little text icon and fire away. And if you want to watch us on the stream, that is possible too. Conrad, if you would, please.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook with the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba Facebook page. Facebook WGBW, Civic Media's YouTube channel, and on Twitter, we are WGBW.
Check us out. It's like watching TV. I just want to prepare you. I do my own stunts. you'll see me on the screen. It's like watching TV. And this is all me. I'm like the Tom Cruise of radio in the sense that I do all my own stunts and I'm taller than him. I say that proudly. So I said Samara. Samaritans were from Samaria, a region north of Jerusalem. And the story goes that the Good Samaritan was traveling. Do we have a text already? So let us know. Let us know what your, before I start reading Bible verses, because that probably doesn't make for good radio either. It actually probably does in some circles. I used to host a Bible study radio show. So I think I could pull it off. But I started getting really vulgar texts, which I found ironic. People didn't buy it, I guess. Conrad, are you still here?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so the other thing is, this is exciting too. And as usual, folks, you can always chime in, let us know what you think about what we're talking about, the movies, the TV, the guests. You got questions for guests? Lay them on us. It's National Good Samaritan Day, and we're asking people for their Good Samaritan stories. Asking you to think a little bit tonight. I don't mean to make this strenuous. This is supposed to be chill time for all of us, winding down our day. It's also National Dermatologist Day, which reminds me of a very funny Seinfeld episode where he was dating a dermatologist, and she said something to Jerry along the lines of, have you ever saved someone's life? Do you know what it's like to save someone's life? And she was being a little overbearing, I guess, and Jerry got sick of it. And he was lamenting to George. He said, I'm getting tired of this. This woman thinks she's saving lives. She's popping pimples. And he lets her have it one night at dinner. And she says, I treat people with skin cancer. And Jerry immediately says, skin cancer? Like, how did I not think of that? Classic Seinfeld moment. Got great guests tonight, as usual. Nathan Timmel is here. He's a comedian from Iowa. We've got a double dose of funny tonight. Nathan Timmel is a Wisconsin-born comedian, and he is now in Iowa. He seems to have issues with that. We'll talk to Nathan about that. Iowa's a lovely place. I've done stand-up myself there ages and ages ago. So we'll ask Nathan what his life is like in Iowa as a comedian. He's got a special we'll talk about. I just met him, so that's always exciting. I love talking to people I don't know that well. Conversely, Mike Schmidt is here in the second hour, whom I know well and is very funny. He was on Nightlight, I want to say in December or early January. He's back. He's the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. And Mike is one of those guys who can talk and talk and talk and just keep going and be funnier every minute. So, and that's why his podcast has been known to go 2 hours. And he has no filler. It's all fun. It's always fun to listen to Mike. Do you remember him, Conrad? He was here last time and he told that story about playing hooky from school.
Yeah.
And his friend said, you can hide out in my house. And his mom his mom came home for lunch. And Mike was hiding in the shower listening to his friend's mom go to the bathroom. And he almost got caught. He has another story that's hilarious about when he worked in a convenience store. Maybe I'll ask him to tell that one. So those are our guests tonight. And as usual, you, the listener, are considered guests as well. Whenever you chime in, it's fun to read your texts, take your calls, whatever you prefer. There's a big release today. In 1992, My Cousin Vinny came out. This is kind of an iconic scene that we'll play right now from My Cousin Vinny. The scene is aptly titled The Two Utes. Conrad, if you would.
Mr. Gambini, your witness.
He's a tough one.
Yes.
Mr. Tipton, when you viewed the defendants walking from their car into the sack of suds, what angle was your point of view?
They was kind of walking toward me when they entered the store.
And when they left, what angle was your point of view?
They was kind of walking away from me.
So would you say you got a better shot at them going in and not so much coming out?
You could say that.
I did say that. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Is it possible the two Utes...
Two what? what was that word?
What word?
To what?
What?
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Two Utes. I remember liking that movie when it came out, but not loving it. I thought it was very gimmicky. In fact, they were such fish out of water. I thought it was a little over the top, personally. But when I watched it a few years later in a hotel room, I enjoyed it. Joe Pesci, great range. Funny guy. Marissa Tomei is hilarious in it. I want to say she won an Oscar for that. Let's go to the Google. Stand by, folks. We'll get to the bottom of this. Yes, Best Supporting Actress for My Cousin Vinny. And she was hilarious. I love when comedic roles take home an Oscar because it does not happen that often. And especially now, I think, you know, I'm not a woman. I don't speak for women, but I think there are better parts for women in movies these days. The roles that they are nominated for are incredible. And I don't think it was always like that. I don't think you see as many comedic roles. Emma Stone, you could argue this year, was nominated. She was nominated for Poor Things. She was funny in that, but also it was incredible acting. But I forgot that Marissa Tomei won an Academy Award for My Cousin Vinny. That's pretty cool. There are other birthdays today, too. William Macy turned 73. We'll hear a clip. William Macy, of course, from Fargo, who played Jerry Lundegaard. So funny. Common turns 51 today. Emil Hirsch is 38. And we have a fun clip of Emil Hirsch talking at an awards show about what it's like working with Tarantino and Leo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. Very just kind of a humble little speech he gave to some reporters. Maybe we'll play that. But coming up next, we're going to tease tonight's guests. Nathan Timmel, who will be along in about 10 or 12 minutes to talk some comedy and about his life in Iowa. And the very funny Mike Schmidt will tease their appearances with some stand-up comedy from two very funny guys. And what else, Conrad? Am I missing something?
I don't think so.
Did I get it all?
I think you got it all.
We didn't talk about D's Nuts. We'll talk about that. There was a guy named D's Nuts who got arrested in Green Bay. That's coming up next as well. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Another guy. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Walking with a love, that's all so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. That's one of my songs. A few nights ago, I think it was Monday. Actually, it might have been last week. The nights kind of run together, but we did I think our question was, what movie or song took you back and made you nostalgic for a time in your life? And that one makes me very nostalgic for, I think right when I moved to LA, that was kind of popular. It has a very anthemic kind of sound to it. So I'm digging it. Our first text of the night is one I can't read on the air. It's Christy Barlament, filled with expletives once again. Talking. She's very sick, apparently. We have a guest coming in tomorrow night, Tarl Knight, who owns the Tarleton Theater here in Green Bay. Christy connected us with Tarl. Been trying to get him on the show. Pete Jones will be here tomorrow night as well. He is the writer of the film Hall Pass and was the subject of the film Project Greenlight, the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck film. Our project, I should say, that was on HBO from the early 2000s. Anyway, Christy connected me with Tarl, and now she's very sick. So she will not be stopping by, Conrad. She's got a case of the Wednesdays. So, all right, let's talk about this. I thought this was hilarious. There's a guy in Green Bay who was arrested for battery. Nothing to laugh at, certainly. Or a disturbance, I should say, more accurately. I don't know the details. And I don't want to get it wrong, but there was an incident involving a gun. That's all you need to hear, really. Police were called, a reported disturbance. The man's name, D's Nuts. That was on his Wisconsin ID card. These Nuts Lee Kroll. It's a good thing they put his middle name in. I thought Nuts was his middle name, but it's These Nuts, and it's hyphened. So he took the time, he researched the phrase, These Nuts Lee Kroll, and he was put in the squad car. Someone claimed that he punched them with a closed fist in the shoulder. This led to a physical altercation. This is from wearegreenbay.com. At one point, Kroll allegedly got a gun. Authorities took the gun into evidence, found it was a CO2 BB gun. It was reportedly loaded and had 8 silver 4.5 millimeter BBs, which would still hurt very much if you were shot in said These Nuts. So he was referred to throughout the entire evening as These Nuts by the police. That is his legal name. So, Conrad, if you're thinking about changing your name, the moral is don't involve the testicles, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think I'd go with that.
You're pretty much committing. When you legally change your name to These Nuts, you're really limiting yourself vocationally.
Yeah.
You know, no one in a courtroom is going to say, your witness, These Nuts. I think you pretty much are stuck with gigs you don't have to give your name. He has a very successful brother, too, named Those Nuts. Hi-oh! Triplets. His mom actually had triplets. They're just referred to as Them Nuts.
There you go.
He had a brother who lost a testicle. His name is just This Nut. It's all about the testicles in that family. Poor guy. I don't know. I mean, honestly, you're kind of headed for trouble when you change your name to These Nuts, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it'd be hard to get a job when your name is that.
Exactly, especially if you're, like, working for a doctor or something. I don't know.
Dr. These Nuts?
Dr. These Nuts. Well, that's if you have a very casual relationship. You're not going to call your Dr. Bill, you know. I don't know. Okay. Nathan Timmel will be along shortly. Mike Schmidt will be along in the second hour. Let's play. This is a little bit of Mike Schmidt's stand-up comedy. And I think we played this a couple months ago, but I love this bit. I want to play it again just to give you an idea of Mike's sensibilities. Like I said, he'll be along at 8:30. Here is Mike Schmidt doing stand-up comic.
Well, wherever you live around here, I guarantee you it's a lot like where I live. I'll tell you why. Go into any dry cleaner and go in and see all of the headshots on the wall of any actor you've never heard of in your life. Seriously. That's down in the valley, we've got it all over the place. We walk in. Is that fooling anybody into leaving their clothes? My wife and I walk in. She's like, hey, it's a little pricey. Pricey, let me tell you something. If it's good enough for Ryan Collins, good enough for me. She said, who's Ryan Collins? Who's Ryan Collins? He was only troublemaker number 4 in the Walker's Difficult Decision episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. He's got shirts.
He's got. Ah, that's Mike Schmidt. Very funny stuff. I'm excited to talk to Mike again. I also saw this story. This was crazy. On People.com, there was a woman who had her husband's ashes put into jewelry. And then at one point, she realized they were the wrong ashes. So she was wearing this jewelry around with someone else's ashes. I think that's crazy. Talk about creepy.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, honestly, that's like, the widow is distraught, said a friend of the family. I would imagine so. The family thought they had his remains and are now asking, if it's not him, who is it? Got an idea for a movie? I think this is it. Now they're grieving again. They have lost that closure that a funeral gives you. Where are this guy's ashes? That's what I want to know. On an urn in someone else's house over a fireplace? That's awful. What would you do? What would you do with your ashes, Conrad?
Is
that a personal question? I don't mean to get too.
I don't know.
I don't mean to pry.
Yeah, I'm not sure right now.
You got time, I hope. You got a new parking spot. you could sprinkle them there. Not that you would actually sprinkle them because they're your ash, unless you bring like
parking's?
An arm.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think as, I don't think yeah. the parking spot would be a good idea.
Just pound them into the pavement every time someone parks there. You become a part of a parking garage. You don't want that. We got another text here from the 708. When we go back to a time when spray tan losers get what's coming, I think that was, we don't really do politics on the show. So I'm guessing that was for Dom and Crute.
Yeah. I'm guessing that.
Unless that's somehow tied to the Good Samaritan question, that I'm just missing it.
Or D's Nuts is spray tanned.
D's Nuts. He couldn't reach him and someone sprayed the tan on, did him a solid. That could happen. And then we have Nathan Timmel will be along shortly. I don't think, do we have time to play Nathan's clip?
We do not.
We do not. Okay, so we'll hear it. Let's come back with that. And then we'll introduce Nathan. We'll read some texts. And we'll wave to people. We'll frolic. This will be a lot of fun. It's also, I don't know if you guys remember this, The New Adventures of Old Christine came out in 2006. That's Elaine from Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus' show. I think immediately, or pretty close, I think it was her first show after Seinfeld. She's so funny. Check that out. And The Postcard Killings, which is on Netflix and was the number one movie in the country post-COVID. It came out before COVID. People found it very gruesome. In fact, I could make a D's Nuts joke again, but I'm not going to. Let's keep this. From now on, Conrad, the show is going above the equator. No more below the waist. All right. Nathan Timmel is coming up next. Very excited to meet this young man. He is a stand-up comic, and he's going to make us laugh, and we'll play a clip of him before we bring him on. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. In the middle of our street, our house. In the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Fun to talk showbiz on a Wednesday night on another beautiful day in Wisconsin. So our question tonight is, do you have a Good Samaritan story? If so, please share it. A time when you ever helped somebody else out or they helped you out. I have one that, you know, rather than sit here and toot my own horn, I was doing a stand-up comedy in Mount Prospect, Illinois at Zany's. And the other comic on the show was a guy named Mark Reedy, who's no longer with us. I always got along with Mark. He was a very nice guy. He had some unfortunate things happen to him during stand-up, during his time doing stand-up comedy. I lost touch with him over the years, but when I was leaving the club, my car broke down and Mark pulled over. And I was a young guy. I was probably 23. I didn't have a towing service or anything like that on my insurance. And it was on an entrance ramp to an expressway in Chicago. And Mark pulled up behind me, called his towing service, and sat there with me for about an hour and waited until the tow truck showed up and took my little Subaru into the shop. Very cool. And I didn't know Mark that well at the time. We were both comics. We had that sort of brotherhood there, which was great. But I certainly got to know him while we sat there for an hour waiting for a tow truck. Might have even been a little longer. It was night, you know. That's my Good Samaritan story. And I was, always grateful for that. And, you know, I always obviously had nothing but good things to say about him, even though I stiffed him on the bill. But, yeah, that's my Good Samaritan story. Mark was great. He really helped me out. I hope he is resting in peace. He was a good guy. But what is yours? Have you ever helped someone out? Have you been helped? What is your Good Samaritan story? Tell us as best you can in a text or a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So, okay, let's, Conrad, before we bring Nathan on, we have a little clip of Nathan Timmel's comedy. So let's play that right now and give people a taste of our next guest.
I live in the Midwest, and because of that, I do not pay attention to weather reports during winter because they always get the projections wrong. I gave up on them. And I remember when it happened. It was one January where I was watching, and they said, oh, we got a blizzard coming. We're getting 8 inches of snow, 8 inches. And then we got around 5 inches. And that's why I think every meteorologist should be a woman. Because if a woman tells you you're getting 8 inches, God damn it, you are getting 8 inches. Yes, only a man would tell you you're getting 8 inches when he means around 5. It's a very male thing to do.
That's Nathan Tim. I think we were supposed to bleep part of that. Let's not give anybody any ideas. Sorry about that, folks. But let's welcome in Nathan Timmel all the way from Iowa. Right, Nathan?
Yes. I was a little surprised you went with that one.
Yeah, well, that was, that was unintentional.
There are radio-friendly ones out there. So, yes, Iowa.
This is radio. This is not a podcast. So we a little slip there. But great to have you with us tonight. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. This is my first time I've ever talked to you other than text. So it's great to have you on the show, and always love to welcome a fellow. I have not been a working full-time comic in a couple decades, but I still feel somewhat part of the brotherhood, and it's great to have you here.
Well, you were a full-time working comic when I started, because I remember your name when I discovered you had this radio show.
Is that right?
I know that name. I got my start in Wisconsin back at the Safe House when they had open mic on Thursday night and Stooges Comedy Club on Layton, and back when the Comedy Cafe was on Brady, run by JD.
Oh, wow.
All should be familiar to you, are they?
Absolutely. Not the Safe House so much, but I worked the Comedy Cafe frequently. In fact, I want to say I started working the Comedy Cafe. Dan Whitney got me in there, who later became Larry the Cable Guy, got me in with Kevin and Linda, and JD was there the night. I was the first comic he saw, supposedly, according to JD. And I always joke with him that that's the reason you bought the club. But he ended up, I worked for him for a while, and then I moved. But yeah, that was such a great room, wasn't it?
It just breaks my heart that it's gone and that JD's gone. It was so much fun. And he was so old school that he would take you out to dinner after that first show on it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday club.
Right,
and
right.
You just took the comics out to dinner. My treat, one of those things like, nope, don't you reach for your wallet. This is all on me. It was a really nice tradition. It was a really nice room.
It was. And I remember, it's funny you say that, because I remember when the next day, or maybe on a Saturday, he was a biker, like full-blown biker. It was not an act. He was not one of these metrosexuals that would go out and buy the leather with the perfectly placed hole in it. And he was an actual biker, not a weekend biker. And he would take you out to breakfast at a place called Ma's with about 8 biker friends, a couple of which I'm sure have done time, but it was very unnerving to sit there and have breakfast with these guys and listen to some of the conversations they had.
Well, I haven't thought of this in years, but true story, before I was even into comedy, when I was in high school, my best friend Mark, his sister, and I'm losing the name, but his sister married someone that was a biker and very serious into it, and was, you know, had I'm not going to go into details, but, you know, biker, had a resume.
Right.
And then later, you know, 10 years later, I am at the Comedy Cafe, and it was JD's brother. So he's like,
oh, wow.
I know you. You're Mark's friend. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, this is my. And so I sort of had that end just completely random. But yes,
wow.
You're right. It was not an act. It was 100% legit. And they were not people you wanted to mess with. You just treated them very seriously, and they treated you seriously. You just respect everywhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he's missed. I know he passed away in the last few years. I sort of lost touch with him. But it was especially sad when you would go by the Comedy Cafe after it had closed and the sign was still up and the club was dark. This is just a few years ago. I remember going down Brady Street, and I was like, oh, that is really sad when you actually see the closed place, right?
Yes, I didn't. I think it became like an adult arcade for a while, like appealing to Gen X. I think they put video games in there. I'm not positive. And then it was completely shuttered. I don't know if it's anything today. I haven't been back to Milwaukee in a while.
You know, this is such a sophomoric sensibility I have. When you said it was an adult arcade, I immediately went to like nude people playing Pac-Man. No.
I meant it legit. It was just Pac-Man, like appealing to Gen X, where they would you pay a $10 cover and all the video games are free, but it's the old standing ones, like like back in the heyday.
Okay, so you're originally, if I got this right, born and raised in Madison, and you're in Iowa now. Tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Iowa, and then if you don't mind, take us back and tell us how you started in stand-up.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to go backwards like that, why not? I was a comedian by the time I was touring through Iowa. There was a comedy club that COVID killed. Thanks, COVID. It was called Penguins in Cedar Rapids. Was there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, over 20 years. This is becoming the death of the comedy club interview.
Yeah.
All the nostalgia. And I was on stage, and there was someone in the audience, I believe, called a woman. Have you heard of them? There's a woman in the audience.
I actually married one, believe it or not.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she stalked me on something called MySpace. Not a thing anymore, but she stalked me on MySpace. She shot me an email. We emailed a little while. We talked on the phone and we went on a date. We dated long distance. And the next thing you know, it's like, well, one of us needs to move. And I said, I'm game. I'm used to moving. I'm used to traveling. So now here we are all these years later, married, a couple kids, just living the life and just, yeah, enjoying it. Still together all these years later.
It's
that was in 2006 that happened.
I got to be honest. It's nice to hear a heartwarming stalker story for a change. I'm glad that worked out for you. That's very cool.
I have several that didn't work out that I didn't. I've had multiple stalkers.
Oh,
one,
dear.
My friend Brian, who now lives in Florida, actually told her that I had died to try and get her off my back. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but she's the one that did work out. Yes.
Yikes! Yeah, restraining orders are not good. So how does that work? You're in Iowa. You're right smack dab in the middle of the country. Is it easy to be a stand-up from there? Being centrally located, you're still kind of, it's still kind of rural. Do you have access to an airport, I hope?
I do. It's just, to go off something you just said, is it easy? I don't know that it's easy to be a comic anywhere. If I were in New York, I would be a drop of water in an ocean. If I were in Chicago, it would be the same thing. So, yes, I am looked upon as a nobody because I'm just in Iowa and not a, you know, I'm in a flyover state. Hollywood doesn't know I exist and doesn't care that I exist because I'm not in an important city. But if I were, and I have lived in an important city, if I were, I would just be another nameless, faceless comedian that. So I think it's a struggle no matter where you are. It's a struggle to be a comedian here. Yes, but I cannot say it would be easier or better had I lived, if I lived in a big market right now.
Okay, that's fair. My guest is Nathan Timmel. He's a stand-up comedian based in Iowa, originally from Wisconsin. Do you work Wisconsin, Nathan?
I do. You remember Roz Turner?
Her
daughter, Samara, still has
a
couple rooms. I work for her. Not so many. There are new clubs in Milwaukee that, you know, I've sent press to. There was a club that... I don't want to name names, but one just said, all right, now you need a TV credit to be in our room. I worked it for years, and one day they just changed management, and management said, if you're not on TV, we're not hiring you. And yeah, it's a game of rubbing elbows and glad handling, and I used to know all the right people, and lately it's been, I don't know the right people anymore. So it's kind of sad, but that's just the way the game is played.
Yeah. So how often are you on the road? I would imagine, unless you're like right in Des Moines, where you might be able to get a few weeks a year at clubs. Are you traveling every week? How old are your kids? And do you go on the road much?
My kids are 9 and 11 now, and I go on the road as often as possible, I guess is the way to put it. So
because they're 9 and 11?
I get an offer, I take it within reason. I'm not traveling 8 hours for $100, you know, not great gig, but
right.
You cobble together what you can. There are comedy nights springing up everywhere in just little towns. And I do a lot of small towns where they can be great. They can be fantastic because if there's nothing to do and they do it correctly, if they say we're going to do comedy once a month or once a quarter, if they don't try like, oh, that was a success, let's do comedy every week and run it into the ground, you can find little small rooms peppered throughout the Midwest and make a living at it. It's kind of like, here's a reference. It's kind of like that scene in Field of Dreams where Costner and James Earl Jones pick up a young Mark Wally before he got killed in Pulp Fiction, where they pick him up and say, oh, back in the day, minor league players would play baseball and then get odd jobs to stay alive. And that's kind of like what comedy is like in the Midwest. If you're not famous, you just sort of take whatever gigs you can, because those are the gigs you can get.
Those are, yeah, they used to say you have rooms you love to work, and then there's paydays. And you'll go to a roadside joint for the money. And, you know, they can't all be great gigs, right?
Nope. If you have a mortgage, you got to take what you can get.
Absolutely. So did you know right away, Nathan, I looked at your website, and you seem to talk about politics a little bit. You have some interesting takes on politics. You seem kind of edgy. You don't seem like you shy away from topics. I wouldn't say you're a clean comic, but do you have a style that you can tell us about, a PG-13, or what you typically try to talk about when you're doing stand-up?
Sure. I'll tell you right now, I'll talk politics all day online. I generally ignore it on stage.
Okay.
I'll write a blog that's political, but on stage, it's not worth the fight to me to choose a side to make half the audience angry.
Right.
But to define my style, I would these days call myself a chameleon, because when I recorded the special, I knew I was in a safe room where the booking agent loved me, and I knew that the audience, it was in Cedar Rapids, so these were my people, and I knew what I could get away with, and I wanted to record my special and what I wanted to say.
Listen, hey, let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to ask you about your special and your Joe Rogan article that I really enjoyed. My guest is Nathan Timmel. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. More of Nathan coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. From the 920, Steve from Florida says, you asked a question some weeks back on an actor that could play a good part in a bad part. I remember that. You got me thinking with the anniversary of the movie My Cousin Vinny, Joe Pesci, after playing tough bad roles, pulled it off in this great 90s movie. He did. Joe Pesci totally fits that, you know, or he doesn't fit a mold. He can play good or bad. He's just a phenomenal actor. He so often gets pigeonholed or associated with the mob and playing the tough guy, which he's great at. But he's a solid actor, trained on the stage, and just a great, phenomenal actor. All right, we're back with comedian Nathan Timmel. He is Iowa-based, but a Wisconsin native, and he was telling us about his... Let's tell us about your special, Nathan. That's pretty cool.
Well, thanks. Well, first, I do want to finish the last question, because where I was leading with it is I said I was a chameleon, and for my special, I knew I could say whatever I wanted, but I've also done all ages squeaky clean shows like DG Disney rated, and I've learned over time to not worry so much about, this is my, I'm on stage, this is my art, I should be able to say what I want, and the audience wants to laugh. It doesn't mean I need to force my thoughts down their throats, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I want to make them laugh partially on my terms, but I get that the audience has expectations too. So I can be edgy, but I don't have to be. But for the special, yes, I went with what I think is my authentic voice.
Okay, so how do you even, is it, there's got to be, I never made it to the point in stand-up where I had my own special. That's got to be a lot of pressure. Is it nerve-wracking?
Kind of, but not really, because I did it all myself. I had the venue that I loved. I had the booking agent that I knew trusted me, so I wasn't worried about what I was going to say and how I had to phrase things. I paid the production company. So are you familiar with Andrew Schultz? Are you familiar with Andrew Schultz?
No, I'm not.
He just went through a thing about a year ago where he recorded a special for Netflix. And after it was done, they said, okay, we need to remove this joke, and this joke. So he bought his own special back just so he could release it the way he wanted to.
Wow.
And so that's what I felt I was doing, is I didn't feel any pressure because there would be no one telling me what I could and couldn't say. I just wanted to put out what I wanted to put out. And it was very liberating and freeing. It was a little nerve-wracking to invest the amount of money I did on myself. But I mean, if no one else is going to do it, why not? Fortunately, I had a wife that believed in me. She said, if you want to spend your money on this, I'm 100% behind you. Not, well, that could be a mortgage payment, or that could be a, you know, what if there's a, and so, yeah, no pressure, supportive family. It was actually very easy to record. Great production company. So no pressure, just wonderful to experience.
She says, I didn't stalk you for nothing, buddy. Get up there and make a special. I love it. So you have a great, on your website, you write these articles too that I think are, I didn't get a chance to read all of them, obviously, but I like what you said about the Joe Rogan one. And I think a lot of people have a love-hate with Joe Rogan. Like, I only met him a couple times. I saw him do stand-up. He was kind of a crowd pleaser, you know? He wasn't breaking the mold on stand-up, but he's got a crazy successful podcast. What are type of articles, aside from that, what do you like to write about typically? And does it mirror your stand-up, or do you try to do other things with your writing?
The whole point of writing is that I can get thoughts outside of my brain and into the world that don't require laughter. So my writing is different from my comedy. Because comedy, if people come out, they want to laugh. So on stage, I am expected to be funny. I get that. I want to make them laugh. I want to hear their laughter.
Sure.
But I have ideas that might not be funny, and I just allow those to escape through my fingers and then just post them. And if people read them and enjoy them, awesome. That's great. And if they get ignored because people just want my comedy, that's great. But it's just an outlet for me. It's just another, facet of my multifaceted ADHD brain.
Like so many comics. My guest is Nathan Timmel. He is a stand-up comedian. Do you see yourself, would you be willing to move, Nathan? That's a big, like, let's say somebody saw you at a club in Iowa or Minnesota or wherever, having kids that are 9 and 11, that's a tough age. Would you pick them up and move them for the right opportunity?
I mean, it would have to be a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah.
It would have to be so good that I couldn't say no. What is it, good is the enemy of great, or is that a saying? I think because I'm in a good place right now, and I don't know if I would shoot for great, or if I'm comfortable, or if maybe I'm too comfortable and that's holding me back.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a really good question. I haven't had to worry about it because nobody's discovered me yet. So maybe that all changes with this interview, listeners.
Hey, who's that's right. You'll be leaving Iowa in no time after your appearance here on Nightlight. All right. So we talked about the Comedy Cafe. It's gone. What are your favorite clubs to work right now? And where can people see you? Like your website, NathanTimmel.com. I encourage all the listeners, go there, check out Nathan's comedy. He's got clips. He's got articles. It's a great site. Very well done, by the way.
Thanks. I need to link the special to this website. I got to do that when we're done.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So where can people see you, and what are your favorite clubs?
Oh my goodness. I do keep a calendar on my website. So where can they see me? Wherever it says on the calendar. I know this week I've got a fundraiser somewhere here in Iowa. Okay. I know it's on Saturday, but I don't keep track until the day of the gig. On Monday I look, I'm like, where? Okay. Saturday morning, I'll look and see where I need to go. Otherwise it's brain overload. But my favorite clubs, my goodness, I love the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. I absolutely love it.
Good comedy.
Goonies
town,
in Rochester, Minnesota is a favorite. And this is sad. I'm going back to the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio in April, a club I have loved for years. And the owner passed away a few months ago. His wife has taken up the cause. She's championing the club and keeping it going. And it's going to be sad going back for the first time since Pete passed away. But I'm looking forward to returning. I'm going to miss my old friend.
Yeah, that's too bad. Hey, Nathan, can you stick around for a few more minutes? Do you mind?
Absolutely.
All right. We got a couple texts here before we have more with Nathan here from the 608. Rico from Rock County says, tough question, Pete, but you make it short and sweet. I would say anybody that would give the last of what they had to someone who was more in need than they were. Very well. Very well said, Rico. I was worried about Rico, Conrad. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
What the H? And then from the 818, Bridget says, I once helped an elderly woman at the grocery store who had an overflowing cart filled with Thanksgiving items and paying with a check. I asked if I could help her put grocery items in her car. She accepted my help. While helping her, I decided to ask if she would like me to follow her home to help her unload the groceries at home. She accepted my help. I helped. We visited. I gave her my phone number for help in the future. I'm glad she trusted me. We need to help and trust each other. What a great way to go out for this segment. Very well done, Bridget. Thank you for that. And Rico, coming up next, more with comedian Nathan Timmel. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.